We welcome all of you to Grace Bible Church this morning. It's good to see you in the Lord's house today. And we welcome our fathers today on this Father's Day. We give them greetings in the Lord and want to encourage them today. I want to share with you just a few thoughts this morning from 2 Chronicles chapter 26. As we consider the kind of examples that fathers should be to their sons, there's a recorded event that took place in the life of Uzziah, which the Bible says that he was a good king. But as he grew older, he became very proud. The Bible says, when he was strong, his heart was lifted up to his destruction. For he transgressed against the Lord his God and went into the temple of the Lord to burn incense upon the altar of incense. And the Bible tells us the story of how that as he was offering incense, that Azariah the priest came in there with several men to remove him. And they said, King, you ought not to be in here. You ought not to be doing this. And he continued to wave the censer in a very proud-filled moment. You don't tell me what to do. I'm the king. And immediately the Bible says his face, his forehead broke out with leprosy, and it began to spread across his body. And the Bible says that Azariah thrust him out of the temple. And at the same time, it says, yes, even Uzziah left, hasted out, because he realized what he had done. At that moment. Now, he died a leper, the Bible says, and then his son Jotham, when he was 25 years old, began to reign. He began to reign at the beginning of his father's leprosy. And then there's this interesting statement made about him in verse 2 of chapter 27. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, according to all that his father Uzziah did, howbeit he entered not into the temple of the Lord. In other words, he did not go in to do what his father did. He was very careful throughout his reign that he did not step into that role of priest and take up that responsibility which was not his to take. Now, you know, fathers, you can be examples in two ways. You can be a positive example or you can be a negative example, as Uzziah was, and his son learned from that example and said, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to go in my father's way that he did, because he spent the remaining years of his life as a leper. Now, as just an encouragement to us all today, but also to especially to parents, we have a responsibility to be an example. The Bible says that we're to be an example of the believers. In other words, everywhere we go and what we do should be a testimony and a witness to others of God's saving work in our own hearts and lives, and the humility that we should have before Him, as He is the mighty God and we are His people. We are His sheep. You know, we don't like to think of ourselves as sheep, do we? We would prefer ourselves to be servant leaders. Oh, I love how that expression has come out. Don't find that anywhere in the Bible, be a servant leader, but you hear that everywhere today. It says to be a servant. It doesn't say to be a servant leader. Well, that's a new word we've invented and said, oh yeah, the Bible talks about that all the time. The Bible wants us to be a servant, and Uzziah forgot his role. He stepped out of his role that God had given to him, and he became a negative example to his son. But his son was wise enough to learn from his father's poor example and not to make the same mistake. Listen, he didn't make an excuse for his dad. I'm going to tell you, we live in an excuse-riddled world. Oh, I did this because that's the way I was taught. Well, I did this because that way I just had a bad example growing up. I had a terrible childhood. I had bad examples, so that's why I'm the way I am today. Listen, Jotham learned from his father's mistakes, his father's sin, and he didn't repeat it. He was careful, the Bible says, howbeit he entered not into the temple of the Lord. What a wonderful example here, that even though you may have a poor example before you, you can still do what is right. May God help us today, as we gather to sing His praises and to open His Word, to have a spirit and a desire to do what God wants us to do.
We'll begin this morning with number 203. Hymn books, please. Number 203, we've sang this hymn a couple of times. It's somewhat new, but number 203, Praise the Lord who reigns above. Let's stand together to sing.
Praise the Holy God above and all His grace.
remain standing for prayer this morning.
Let us pray. Our precious Heavenly Father, we come into Your presence this morning with joy and thanksgiving for who You are. We are glad this morning that we can call Thee, Father, because of what You have done in our behalf by sending Your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, to pay our sin debt on Calvary's tree, the sinless for the sinful. Lord, we thank You for His substitutionary atonement for our sins. And Lord, we know that that is the basis for our being able to come before Thee as sinners. We come on the merits of another. We come on the merits of Jesus Christ, our Savior. And Lord, we're thankful that You save us from our sins, that through His atoning work on Calvary's tree, we can be delivered from our sin debt because Jesus Christ paid it all. We can be delivered from sin itself by being cleansed by His blood. Lord, we have so many precious things that we possess this morning because of Jesus Christ. And we thank You, Father, for what You have done for us in sending Your Son. If there be anyone here today, Father, we pray that if they're here without the Savior, that they might come to know Thee today before it's eternally too late. Lord, help them not to have peace in their heart until they get this matter settled. Oh, it's so important. It's more important than the paying our bills. It's more important than anything that we could ever think of or do to be sure of our eternal soul and that we belong to the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, we pray that Your Holy Spirit would work in hearts this morning. Father, we thank You for the privilege of worshiping Thee. We thank You for voices in which we can sing praise to Thy holy name. We thank You that we all possess a copy of the Bible whereby we can know the revelation that You have shared with us. And Father, we thank You for the privilege of gathering together today, that we have the freedom and the liberty to meet together to worship Thee. We pray, dear Father, that this would be a profitable time. And we ask, dear Father, that Your Holy Spirit would be at work in hearts. We think of other faithful preachers and churches around this country today who are holding worship services. We pray for them. Pray, Father, that the Word of God would be exalted and that Jesus Christ's name would be lifted up, and that You would draw all men unto Him. We ask, dear Father, that You would undertake for those who suffer around the world because of their witness for Thee. We pray that You would encourage their hearts. Lord, we hear almost now on a weekly basis of Christians who are being persecuted and who are suffering for the name of Christ. We ask, dear Father, that You would be close to them, that You would undertake for them. And I pray, Father, that we might learn from their example to not be ashamed. Help us, Father, in the workplace or wherever we are, shopping or going places on vacation, that we would never be ashamed of Jesus Christ, but that we might honor His name and proclaim His gospel wherever we go. We pray, Father, that You would undertake for Christian school ministries around this country. Lord, we know that there are many that are having to close their doors because of lack of financial support or lack of students. Father, we pray that You would undertake and that You would allow the ability to be able to train boys and girls for Thee to be able to continue. We thank You, Father, for parents who love Thee and homeschool their children because their desire is to train them in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. We thank You for them. And we ask, dear Father, that You would help us all to be concerned about our children enough that we might bring them underneath the teaching of the Word of God so that they will be directed in paths of righteousness. Father, we pray that You would continue to undertake for the T-Ball World Series. We thank You, Father, for the 3 days that You have given us, the beautiful weather that You provided, the opportunities to be a witness and testimony for Thee. Lord, we thank You for the strength and the grace that You have provided over the past 3 days. And so, Father, as this tournament wraps up on Tuesday, we pray that You would continue to bring glory unto Yourself and that this tournament would be concluded successfully. We thank You for the first week of camp. We thank You, Father, for the opportunities that we had this week for Bible time with our campers. And we just pray that You would use this ministry, Father, to save lost souls. These precious boys and girls are going to live somewhere forever. And we pray, Father, that we might be able to see an impact in their heart by preaching to them the gospel of Jesus Christ, that He is the only Savior of sinners. And we pray that they might come to know Thee as our personal Savior. Father, we pray that You would bless and all the activities of this summer, give safety and protection on this campus. And the bus, wherever it goes, Father, we pray that Your hand of protection would be upon them. Lord, we think of our young people who will be leaving next Sunday to go to the Bill Rice Ranch Camp. Father, our hearts are burdened for them. We pray for their safety and protection as they go. But Lord, we pray for their spiritual needs. We pray that through the preaching of the Word and through the influence of godly counselors that they might see that Jesus Christ is the only Savior and that He is worthy to have my whole entire life to be used of Thee. Father, we pray that You would call our young people. We pray that You might plant within them a desire to follow after Thee and do whatever You want them to do. Lord, we pray that You would raise up from our young people those that will go into pulpits, those that will go to the mission field, those who will take up their responsibility as moms and dads and will honor Thee with their lives. Father, we pray that You would do a work at camp in the coming weeks. Now, Father, we pray now Your blessing upon this church service. We pray a special blessing upon our fathers. Encourage them. May they walk in the paths of righteousness. For we ask these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen.
You may be seated and turn over now to number 189. 189, Faith of Our Fathers. Now, hymn number 10. We'll sing just on the third verse only. The third verse of hymn number 10, Now Thank We All Our God, verse number 3.
Thank you.
encourage you this morning to take your Bibles and turn with me to the book of Ephesians, chapter 6. Ephesians, chapter 6. We're going to look at two passages of Scripture, one in Ephesians and one in Colossians, and we're going to take up this theme this morning. Fathers, you are a director, not a dictator. Fathers, you're a director and not a dictator. I want you to look with me, please, at the first few verses of chapter 6, and then we're going to turn over to the book of Colossians and look at a passage there that repeats basically what we read here in Ephesians chapter 6. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. Now notice that is directed to children, those verses. And then he says, verse 4, and ye fathers, speaking to dads here, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Now, if you'll take just a moment and turn over to Colossians chapter 3, and look with me, please, at verse 20. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. And then once again, paired with the message to the children is a message to dads. Notice this in verse 21. Fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. Now notice that the two anger there is supplied by the translators. It does not appear in the original text. It simply states the fact, fathers, provoke not your children, lest they be discouraged. Now twice here in the New Testament, commands are given to fathers by the Apostle Paul through the pen of inspiration. Fathers are to be careful. Fathers are to take note of something that's very important that's given to us here in these two passages of Scripture, and it's concerning not provoking children. And we're going to get in this morning what it means to provoke children and then look at ways in which fathers are to be the right kind of example to their children. Notice in both of these places, children are addressed first, and then the father specifically stating. Now, in the teaching and the insistence upon obedience, be careful that you provoke not your children. Let us pray. Father, we pray that you would bless your word this morning, that you would encourage our hearts, and that you would speak to fathers this morning. Lord, I pray that you would help us to train our children in such a fashion that would bring honor and glory to the name of Jesus Christ, whereby children will not be discouraged, but that they would rather be encouraged to follow after Thee. We pray, dear Father, that Your Holy Spirit would drive the truths that we present from Your Word today into all of our hearts. For we ask these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Now, children are not to be provoked to anger, according to our two passages of Scripture. Now, this does not mean that a father should never raise his voice or that children should be treated like a cross between an orchid and fine china. All right? That's not what it's stating here in this passage. Now, a lot of people will take it. I remember reading one pastor a number of years ago that said that we need to be careful as fathers that we never come across in any way, shape, or form in any kind of a stern fashion because that is breaking the spirit of what's being said there. No. You know, the Bible says in the book of Hebrews that the Father loves His children and He chasteneth them betimes. In other words, many times. So it indicates there that a father's role as administrator and director of the family is to bring discipline into the home. And that means that he has to exercise his authority. It is not this mousy kind of concept that we have today about fatherhood. And by the way, Hollywood never presents fatherhood ever in the right way. Oh, I saw a movie one time. Okay, you may have seen a movie one time. I want to tell you about Hollywood. Hollywood doesn't know anything about biblical fatherhood. It presents dads as a bunch of dopes, knuckleheads, idiots. They're basically taking up space in a house as far as the way Hollywood presents. Mark my words. I'm not telling you to go out and watch a bunch of them to prove my point. I know it's true. Because they hate the Bible. They hate the Bible. And they're going to present fatherhood in a twisted, perverted notion because it cannot stand the Bible concept of a father. So don't buy into all this nonsense. The father's role is to establish discipline, and the Board of Education should be applied to the seat of learning. That doesn't make me very popular, I know. But I'm not running a popularity contest. I'm just simply speaking to you what God says in His Word. Now, the writer of Proverbs had a great deal to say about this. He that spareth his rod hateth his son. Notice, masculine tense. He that spareth his rod hateth his son. Three times there. The father. But he that loveth him chasteneth him betimes. Proverbs 13:24. Chasten thy son while there is hope, and let not thy soul spare for his crying. Proverbs 19:18. Foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction shall drive it far from him. Proverbs 22:15. Withhold not correction from the child, for if thou beatest, and everybody goes, oh, well, you got to know the word. It's described, by the way, it's used, the same term is used of the sun beating down upon Jonah's face, remember? So obviously, it's not talking about the same thing. It's a word that's determined by context, and it's used various ways. Taking wheat and beating the wheat, all right? Well, they don't use a rod for that. They have a special tool they use for beating that. And so the point is this. The administration of the proper tool, the shotar in the Hebrew, was the tender growth that came from a tree or a plant. All right? Very limber. Right? That's the Bible description that's given to us here. It's not a big cane 6 feet long. It's not this big Moses rod with knots all over it. Some people immediately go to that. No, that's not what it's saying. What it means is the administration properly. All right? So let's read it that way. Withhold not correction from a child, for if thou use the rod appropriately, because that's what it simply means, he shall not die. Shall not die. Thou shalt beat him with a rod and shall deliver his soul from hell. Proverbs 23:13-24. The rod and reproof give wisdom, but a child left to himself bringeth his mother to shame. That's playing out every day all across America. Parents brought to shame. Parents brought to shame. Parents brought to shame. Why? Because they did not give the rod and reproof. They did not use what God said. Correct thy son, and he shall give thee rest. You know what that's saying? Not only in the short term is your child going to be a blessing, but in the long term, the child will conduct themselves properly and will take care of you in the end of life. They will give you rest. In other words, you are preparing your children to take up their responsibilities. Now, what is being said here? God is telling us in the New Testament that discipline should never be administered while a parent is angry or emotionally distraught. That's what the word provoke means in the original language. It's two words put together, par or gizete, which is in the present active imperative. It means to bring one along to a deep-seated anger. That's what the word provoke means. To bring one along to a deep-seated anger. We're bringing this child along and we're provoking them. We bring them to a place of deep-seated anger and they do not see God as Father. What do they see? They've seen the result of poor parenting. Provoke not your children to wrath. It means to exasperate the child. And it's interesting here, the preposition paired with the word indicates the onward motion. The damage that's done when we don't do things biblically, according to the Word of God. Now, in Colossians 3:21, another word is used by Paul. Two different words, all right? The word used by Paul there means to irritate, to provoke, or to irritate. To constantly be in such a form as to irritate the child all the time. All right? Thereby producing a child that is discouraged. A child that is discouraged. Now, I want us to understand something. It's amazing how we can pick and choose things we like about parenting from the Bible. But dads, and I'm speaking to myself here, I put myself right here in the front pew and I'm speaking to myself here. We have a responsibility to make sure that we carry out our roles as dads properly. We administer discipline. We do things in a right fashion, but we don't go to the level of provoking, where we bring children to the place where they're exasperated and they are discouraged and they don't want any part of our so-called faith. All right? We want to be able to lead them to Christ. Hebrews 12 and verse 7 says, "If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the father chasteneth not?" The father brings the discipline into the home, but the father also understands the parameters of how he brings the discipline. He understands that he doesn't cross the line. He doesn't go too far. Now, we are not to provoke our children to wrath, which will happen if they see that we are simply venting on them, making unreasonable demands, petty rules, or favoritism that cause children to become discouraged. We have to understand and know that we have got to act in a reasonable fashion on principles laid out in the Word of God. What is your purpose as a parent? When children come into your life, the purpose that God has given to you if you're a Christian home is to bring them to Christ. I think the highest privilege of a parent is to lead their own children to Christ. I've been finishing up a book that Brother Will Rice gave to me. It was the testimony of the Bill Rice Ranch and how the Lord brought it to pass. And Bill and Kathy Rice gave birth to a child, a girl, by the name of Betty. They found out later, after a very high fever, a sustained high fever, 107, that she went deaf as a result. They would be talking to her and they would be giving instructions and she would just be in a stare. She wasn't hearing a thing. And Kathy realized that the child was deaf. And she went to her husband with tears in her eyes and said, "Bill, I think she cannot hear us." So they took her to a specialist. They didn't have any money. So they went to a doctor and they said, this is permanent. The damage is permanent. She'll never, ever hear. And so Kathy took it upon herself to begin to teach Betty about the gospel. And she wanted to learn everything she could learn about how to learn signing so that she could teach her little daughter how to come to Christ. It took 3 years of learning sign language. She began to actually work out how she could present the gospel to her using sign language and so forth. And after 3 years of working with her, Betty, who was just now becoming to be able to say just a few handful of words. She was 8 at the time. She could say just a handful of words, and it was very difficult for her to speak because she had no hearing. She had no ability to sense any kind of vibrations at all. That's how deaf she was. And she looked at her mom, "Jesus." And she began to pull her aside, "Betty, you know who Jesus is?" "Yes, I know who Jesus is. I love Jesus." And she began to show her how she needed to repent of her sin and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And the younger daughter was listening to all this. She was 5 at the time. And she looked up and said, "I want to receive Jesus just like Betty." That night, Kathy Rice led both of her girls to the Lord in one evening. She got on the phone to call her husband, who was away in Chicago at that time, preaching. Back there in those days, we're talking about the early 50s, it was expensive to call long distance. But she called long distance, person to person, "I've got to talk to Bill Rice." Got out of his meeting, he went to the phone, said he heard nothing but crying for 5 minutes. Said, "Kathy, what's wrong? Did somebody die?" No. He said, "We are paying for a very expensive phone call right now. Would you please tell me what's going on?" And she told the story of how she led both of the girls to Christ, and then he cried for 5 minutes. The most wonderful thing that a parent can do is to lead their children to Christ. And you don't want to put any impediments in that way. And sometimes, parents, we can get in the way of the Holy Spirit's work because we're not a good example. And dads, I believe the reason that the Bible put it in there twice and paired it with the statements to the children is because we are the ones that establish the tone of discipline in our houses, and we can be the ones that have the short fuse, and we can be the ones that can provoke our children to wrath. Notice that this statement is made to fathers, and I believe it's certainly good for everybody concerned, but who are the ones that have the tendency to provoke? It's the dad. And God knows that about us, and we have to own up to it. We cannot hide these verses. All right? Dads, you can't reinterpret them. Oh, I don't think it really means that. Or I'll just ignore that one. We must follow the Word of God in this regard. Now, our first responsibility as parents is to raise our children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. That's our first responsibility. You don't need to be concentrating on your career. You need to be concentrating on your children. You only have them for a short time. You know, you can have a career afterwards. Now, you can have a career now, but if you ignore your children, you do so to your own peril. The highways and byways of America are littered with the carcasses of kids who were left to themselves because their parents were engaged so heavily in their careers that they had no time for their kids. I'm so thankful that I've had that opportunity to be with my kids and to be around my kids. And it's easy when you're in a Christian school ministry and you're able to see them throughout the day. And it's difficult for families that are trying to make ends meet. I understand that and know that. But listen, that doesn't allow you to just dismiss your parental responsibilities that God has established in His Word. And dads, you can provoke your kids to wrath by not spending any time with them. Not having any time with them. Always too busy. Always got something going. Got to be here. Got to be there. Listen, you only have your children for a short amount of time. Don't miss that opportunity. Don't miss that opportunity to bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Number one, dads, don't provoke your children to anger. Don't push them along to a deep-seated anger or exasperation or discouragement that ruins their lives. And they, therefore, don't want to have any part of God. Listen, children's first exposure to God is their parents. How God's authority works, they will establish that on parental authority. How dad operates, how mom operates. And we've got to be careful. Are we establishing ourselves as God would have us to teach Him to them? Or is our example such that God is not honored and they are exasperated and discouraged and they want nothing to do with God because they really don't want anything to do with you? That's the risk that we run. Now, there's a positive role that we are to play in this regard that I want you to see from God's Word. Notice it's given to us right here in our text in Ephesians chapter 6. Bring them up. Did you get those words? Bring them up. Very important words that come to us here. They're all wrapped up in one word. Bring them up in the nurture. That's one Greek word that's translated there for us. Very, very important word here. Bring them up in the nurture of the Lord. Bring them up is the idea, another command form, present, active, imperative, a command giving here, to nourish, to provide for with tender care. Dads, did you know that that's your role too? Well, that's mama's role. She takes care of that. No, wait a minute. Bring them up in the nurture of the Lord. Dads, our responsibility is to bring them up. What does it mean to bring them up? They come into your house. They're little babies. All right? And they're going to stay in your house for a number of years. 18 to 45 now, I think, is what most of them are today. It shouldn't be that way. But, you have them for 18 years. And God says, bring them up. Now, the Walshes have chickens. They got a lot of them. This morning, they got up very early in the morning. Shelby went outside, and the roosters were having a fight. early this morning. She's now a rooster referee. And they were going at it this morning. I don't know if one didn't survive or one ran off. I don't know what happened. But they've got chickens. Now, you raise chickens. All right? Now, you go out every day and you feed them. You make sure they've got water. You make sure that they're tended to. You make sure that they're protected and so forth. But that's not just what God's talking about here. It doesn't mean just give them food. Make sure they got clothes on their back. Make sure they got a bedroom. And you've carried out your parental responsibilities. No, you haven't. You haven't even started. You haven't started. God says that we are to have a positive role in their life by nurturing them. We nurture them in an environment where we teach them about God. And we teach them about God's creation. And we want to try to live by God's grace the kind of lives before them that will point them to the Savior, that will point them to Jesus Christ. Nurture. That's the word that's used here. The idea of tender care, being very careful. You know, Dad, you set the tone by what you tolerate in your house. If you have good care about what you tolerate in your house, then you'll have young people eventually that will be a blessing to be around. You know, I enjoy being around our young people here at Grace Bible Church. I enjoy cutting up with them, carrying on. We can go out there at the ballpark and in the concession stand and we can cut up and carry on and have conversations. That's a joy. Why? Because they've come from homes where they've been taught to enjoy each other. You know, I'm so thankful. We don't have any sourpuss kids. I'm so thankful for that. Sometimes I watch kids and I get concerned for them. They're just sad and somber all the time. And what's going on with them? I'm not going to ask how they're feeling. I don't want to know. You know, some people, you ask them, how are you feeling? It was the worst thing to ask. Because they'll tell you for the next hour and a half how they're feeling. But you know, by and large, our young people in this church, they're just a pleasant joy to be around. And you know what? We're living on the fruits of a pastor before me. I know and recognize this. We're enjoying the blessings of Dr. Hobbs, even though he's been gone for 7 years, of the training that he put into us parents and the things that we were taught from God's Word so that our children today can be pleasant. There's some young people I don't like to be around. I'm not talking about anybody in our church, but my experience has been they're just having nasty personalities, vindictive, smile at you and then go trash you on Facebook. Let me tell you something. You got to watch out these days. It's sad what we're seeing today because we've left the first principles of God's Word. And what we've left is fathers aren't doing their job in the homes. God puts the responsibility squarely on dads to establish the right kind of home. Do I hear an amen? He puts it on. That's why he said twice, talks to the children and he talks to dads. Why? Because they're the federal head of the home as far as God is concerned. And you have a responsibility to nurture your children, to set priorities in their life about what's right and what's wrong, to establish principles in your home about what's acceptable and what's not, but also to love your kids and to teach them about God. What a wonderful responsibility. I've had the opportunity in my own life to lead my children to Christ, to be able to sit down with them and take the Bible and to be able to show them from God's Word. What a wonderful privilege that is. But it doesn't end there. They've got to be taught. And you've got to have rules and responsibilities and you've got to sit on them and you've got to make sure that they do what's right. You've got to nurture them. That's the whole point of this Word. That's the positive role that you have. I hear in the news of the pregnancy rates now. Outside of marriage, pregnancies now are 72% in the African American community, 45% in the white community. Both of those numbers are tragic. And you know what's so sad about them? Is they're all homes without dads. That's what happens to those kids. They grow up without a daddy. Now, we need to take up our responsibilities. Dad, you have an important, positive role to play. Discipline that you administer is to be of the Lord. The discipline instruction is to be administered in the name of the Lord. When you carry out your duties, that is important. Paul has taken the subject of submission first in the home with a husband and wife relationship in chapter 5, and now he makes the right kind of parent-child relationship. There shouldn't be any generation gaps in your home. Dad, you need to know what's going on with your kids. It's our responsibility as dads to check on them. Make sure that they're home when they're supposed to be home. Make sure that they're not looking at things they ought not to be looking at. That's your job. Well, mama's going to take care of that. Yeah. Leave it all to mom. Sorry, rascal. King of the lazy boy. King of the remote. Yeah. Sit there and watch life go by while your family goes to hell. Listen, you've got a responsibility to take up your responsibilities and love your kids and want them to do what's right and be the right kind of dad. That's a privilege. It's something that we should do knowing that you don't get paid for it. As a father, you're always paying out. All the time. Not just cash for them to go to the concession stand, but you're always giving out truth, understanding, wisdom, so that they will put hedges in their own lives that will keep them from going out and sinning and living with the regrets that come. Secondly, I want you to see in a positive role in the child training and instruction that proceeds from God. Notice this, please. Nurture and admonition of the Lord. This includes the training in righteousness and God's discipline of believers. Hebrews 12 and verse 8 says, "But if ye without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are ye bastards." You're not really His children. "And not sons." God loves and He administers discipline. And as a dad, your responsibility is to take up not only the role of nurturing, but also the role of discipline. The admonition, the teaching. You know, every moment of every day when you have time with your kids, it can be a teaching moment. Whenever you go out fishing, or whenever you go out in the woods, or whether you're at the house, or you're cutting grass in the yard, you're using those opportunities to teach and to instruct. My dad had us mowing lawns when we were really young. Roger was in the fourth grade, I think I was in the fifth grade. We used to team push the lawnmower because we were so short for our age. We would be beside each other pushing the lawnmower. Dad believed in teaching us how to work. And I can remember several times where Dad would come and inspect. We'd do somebody's yard for them, said, "You got to go back," and the favorite expression was, "You got to lick your calf over again." Everybody know what that means? Kids look out, "Whoa, that's gross." Okay? Yeah, we had to go back and do it again. "Hey, you left..." I hate Bahia. It's the grass of choice down here in the South because it's hardy during the summertime or whatever, but it is a mess to cut. And he said, "It got Bahia stalks sticking up." I see him around the yard. So I go fire up that lawnmower again, go back and do it again. What were we learning? Dad was teaching us how to work. Somebody was paying us money and they were expecting us to do a good job. And so Dad insisted upon that. And then as we got where we could do it on our own and check ourselves, then Dad didn't have to do it anymore. Because we learned how to check ourselves. Isn't that what we're supposed to be striving for with our kids? Do you want to have to mother them the rest of their life? That's what we see in America. We've got people in their 30s that don't know how to live by themselves. It's sad, is it not? Why? Because when they were little, they were taught to depend on mom and daddy completely, never become self-independent. Never learn how to develop themselves. They've always had to depend on mommy and daddy. Listen, we've got a responsibility, dads, to admonish our children. That means to teach them life skills, living in this life, whereby they'll be a benefit to society and a blessing to God, where God can call upon them to use them. Thirdly, the context presents a father as director and not a dictator. God provides the curriculum and God provides the authority upon which the parents are to operate. What do fathers do that provoke children to long-term discouragement and hopelessness? Well, let me just mention a couple of things here as I close. Failing to be glad and hopeful in God. Failing to be glad and hopeful in God. You say, now that's kind of a strange thing. Let me ask you something. Will your children hope in God if only you are hoping in money as a dad, as a parent? Will they hope in God if all they see is a testimony is that you're hoping in money? Will your children be happy in God if they see that fishing or bowling is a happier experience for you than worshiping God? How about it? Have we ever asked ourselves those kind of questions? Boy, they see you really happy when we're going to go fishing. Man, this is great. Oh, we're going to go to church this morning. Oh, no, I'm not feeling too well today. Listen, they catch attitudes. They catch attitudes. Will your children be confident in God if your whole demeanor communicates the desire to be seen as self-confident rather than dependent upon God? The most important work that a father can do for the sake of his children is to be converted. The most important strategy for rearing children is to become a new man in Christ whose hope and happiness and confidence is in God and not in himself. If children see a dad who's living independent of God, they're going to raise children that are independent of God. And what do we see happening in the church today? Children independent of God. They want nothing to do with them. Fathers, we set the tone in our homes. We know this is true from Scripture because there we are taught to imitate our Father. Be ye holy, for I am holy. That's what God says. 1 Peter 1:16. We are told to be merciful as God is merciful. Luke 6:36. To be a good child is to copy a godly dad. Can I say that again? To be a good child is to copy a godly dad. Dads, are we glad and hopeful in God? If we want to have glad and hopeful children in God, we've got to be that way in our homes. It honors a father to be imitated. I was watching out here at the ballpark. We've got 5- and 6-year-olds now playing, and so we've got younger kids now that are in the T-Ball World Series. And I watched a dad. He had his ball bag strapped on his shoulders, and he was walking into the park, and there was his little son behind him with his ball bag on. Okay? And he was walking in his daddy's step with his ball bag. Okay? He was imitating his dad. His dad had put the ball bag on his shoulder, and the kid had put it on, he was one of the coaches, and the kid had put his ball bag on there, and he was just walking right behind his dad. Now, he couldn't have been more than 5 years old, little bitty guy. But he was following his dad. God knows that. And he wants dads to set the pattern for children to follow. Provoke not your children to wrath. And then last of all, disciplining in an impulsive, erratic, and inconsistent way will provoke your children to wrath. Not only being glad and hopeful in God, but being inconsistent and erratic and impulsive in your discipline will give long-term discouragement to them. We've got to be consistent. We've got to be consistent with our kids. This is the hardest thing as a dad. It's the hardest thing as a dad to be consistent. Unpredictable, impulsive, hostile, makes children fearful, bitter, deceitful, and discouraged. We ought not to have that kind of example in our lives. What's the use, is what a kid will say. I can't please him. I can't do what he wants me to do. So they get discouraged. And so we have a responsibility to encourage each other in this regard. On the other hand, when discipline is controlled and appropriate and consistent and based on clear rules and principles of justice in the home, an atmosphere is created where children will flourish and they'll not be discouraged. They know the limits and they feel secure and free to be mature and play and plan and work inside those limits of righteousness. Kids will live in whatever environment you create for them. But they also will create that same environment in their families if you're not careful. You want to make sure that you create a good environment, dads, by which they can learn. They gain confidence that this is the way God is when it's a good home. Isn't that something to think? That's a tremendous weight. That's a tremendous weight. They gain confidence that this is the way God is. He's not a capricious God. He's not an impulsive God. He's not an erratic God. He's not an inconsistent God. There is order. There is justice tempered with mercy. There is hope and encouragement. Why I might even be able to accomplish something of value and even greatness if I fit into this order that God has established and depend on the goodness of the Father who loves me like this. That's the example that we have as parents. So fathers, don't provoke your children by being impulsive, erratic, petty, inconsistent in your discipline. Be like your Father in heaven so that your children can know Him and become more hopeful and happy and confident in Him. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank You for the Word of God. Lord, we pray for our fathers today. May they see themselves as directors and not dictators. Help us, fathers, to take up the responsibility of nurturing and giving admonition to our children. Lord, I pray that You might help us to take up our responsibilities and that we might follow the Word of God in everything that we do. Lord, we're weak and we're frail. We fail miserably so many times. But we're so thankful that You allow us to be able to get back up and dust ourselves off by Your grace and be able to do the right thing because of Your grace and because of Your mercy. I ask Your Heavenly Father that You would work in our hearts as dads. May we be the kind of leaders that we ought to be in the home. May we establish the kind of order that would bring honor and glory to Your precious name. And we pray that as dads we might depend upon Your grace and strength on a daily basis. We ask these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen. God bless you.